We want to give back to the Lord. We want to have a heart which is giving. We want to set aside that which we've put aside in our heart to give to the Lord, because we want to give back that which He so greatly and generously blessed us with in our lives. And so when we think about the idea of being liberal or generous, sometimes we want to equate it with money. But that's not what we're talking about. But in the sense that Jesus taught His followers in relation to being liberal, He taught them to be radically liberal with how they reacted and treated individuals. And so when you think about the idea of what it means to be liberal in relation to being a Christian, I want to look at three different ways that Jesus taught His disciples, and also the way that Jesus teaches us to be liberal every day in our lives and the way that we come across and how we deal with people. So ask yourself this morning, are you really as liberal as Jesus wants you to be? Now, I know perhaps you're saying, I would never consider myself to be liberal, but today, I want you to be liberal. I want you to be as liberal as you possibly can in relation to what Jesus wants you to be today, so when you leave today, you can tell people you're liberal in a good way. So when you think about the idea of liberalism, Jesus wants us to be liberal toward those who are cruel to us. How did Jesus teach His followers to treat those who were harsh and mean and cruel to them? It's easy for us to have a visceral reaction to those who come across to us, those who which we think we should be vengeful towards, and especially in the way that they treat us. He taught His followers to give liberally of their time, of their energy, and of their resources. And when you think about the Beatitudes, especially when you look at Luke's account in Luke chapter 6 here, beginning in verse 27, one of the things that He says when Jesus said, those who are listening to the words that are coming out of My mouth, I want you to understand this. He said, you're to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. So from the very onset, Jesus is introducing an idea that's difficult for many people to understand and comprehend today. Because it means that we have to be liberal or generous to individuals who aren't so kind and generous to us. And so when you go on with this entire concept that Jesus is talking about here, He says, you know what? Not only do I want you to be nice to them, I want you to bless those who curse you. You mean somebody who's going to talk down towards me and treat me indifferently? You want me to act kind towards that person, to be liberal, to be generous with who I am towards the individual? Jesus said, that's it. To him who strikes you on one cheek, give him the other. You mean you want me to literally and physically be abused? The idea that Jesus is using there is if somebody is abusing you, whether it's physically or emotionally, the idea is not that you're going to sit there and take it and be browbeaten, but that you're willing to stand up to the person by the way in which you're going to react to them to say, you know what? The way I treat you is more important than the way that you treat me. Because in that, what I'm showing that person and what Jesus is saying here is the way you show that person Christ is by the way you react to the person who doesn't treat you like Christ. And sometimes that's not an easy thing for us to do. He says, you know what? I want you to go and to give to anyone who asks you, and from him who takes away your goods, don't ask for them back. So somebody steals from you, somebody takes something that which you give to them, don't ask for it in return. Jesus said, be liberal with what you're going to offer to somebody. He goes on to say in verse 31, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is it that to you? Because for sinners also love those who love them. So the idea that Jesus is giving here, if anyone wants to do something against you, rather than being people who say, well, that's not fair, or this isn't the way that you can treat me, I don't like the way that you're doing this, Jesus says, stand up and show them the light of Christ. Because, brethren, what greater example do we have than who Jesus was when He was on the cross of Calvary, or when He was taking the lashings and the beating when He was being crucified? And Jesus said, you can continue to do these things to me, but I'm still going to show you who God is. Jesus taught His disciples to say, what else can I do for you, friend? How else can I treat you that might show you the love that Jesus has for me? And He teaches us not only to refrain from doing harm to our enemies, but also to do good to individuals who hate you. How incredibly generous do you have to be to do good deeds for people who absolutely hate you? And obviously we think about this time as being the giving season, right? The good season, the loving season. And that's what we say the holidays and Christmas is for. Do you think it's strange because precisely the kind of liberalism that Jesus wants in our life and expects all of us to live out is to sometimes take things which we don't think are fair in life? And that's not always an easy thing to do, to be generous with ourselves in the way that people are going to often treat us. But Jesus goes on to say, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Don't look for credit if you're doing something nice. Don't look for it in relation when you're handing something out or helping somebody in a difficult situation to say, look what I did for someone. But it's not always an easy thing to do. One of the things that Jesus definitely wants us to be liberal in is towards the poor. This is a hard thing for us to do today, isn't it? Not in the sense that we don't like to give and that we don't want to help people. If you were to sit down with Forrest and ask him to tell you some stories about people who ask for help, he would probably tell you sometimes there are folks who come to us who perhaps don't deserve help. But sometimes it's difficult to met out those individuals who have obviously hearts that need help. And we're not judging individual circumstances, but of course we must be discerning and wise about the ways that we give. If someone asks you to provide something that is going to hurt them physically or emotionally or spiritually, that's not something that we would provide for them. But however, sometimes we try to be so discerning with how we give and how we help individuals that we become Scrooge in the process. Because we're not very forthcoming with that which we've been so greatly blessed with and what God gives to us. It's easy for us to judge someone as we walk by them who's begging for change or money, right? Well, they're lazy, or they need to get a job, or what's their problem, or what's their situation? It's easy for us to judge a situation without putting ourselves in that person's shoes and how they're walking, isn't it? And I'm sure we've all been in difficult situations, perhaps. But while we're making those excuses, if you consider the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 41, Jesus said, "Be really careful about who you open your door to in relation to, because you never know who it might be." He said, "Then he will say also to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? Lord, we don't ever recall seeing you.' Then he will answer to them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it for me, in the least of these, you did not do it to me also. And as these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.'" In the context of giving help to the poor Christians in Jerusalem, Paul told us that God loves a cheerful giver. We work hard for our money, don't we? We put in a lot of time and a lot of effort. And sometimes we're not as liberal in relation to helping those who are less fortunate than us. The other day I was at the store in a parking lot and I was walking out to a car. A gentleman approached me and he seemed to be homeless. And the first thing he did when he walked up to me, he said, "Sir, sir, pardon me, sir, please don't hit me. You're a big fella." I don't see how I was hoping I didn't come across that way. I didn't walk in the parking lot with my fist up as I was walking to my car. But he said one word, and maybe, but he said one word to me that catches me every time. He said, "I'm a veteran." And being a veteran, you never want to see those who have served our country go without. And his clothes were ratted and they were torn. And so I asked him, just in conversation, "What branch of service were you in?" And what did he say? "Marine Corps." And I said, "Really, where did you serve?" And so he began to tell me. And we stood there for a good 10 minutes talking about the military. And I believed every word that he said. And I didn't have much cash on me because in today's society we don't carry much cash, but I gave him what I had and we stood there and talked for a few more minutes. But when you help somebody, and I'm certainly not trying to pat myself on the back, it feels really good, doesn't it? Especially to those you know who are less fortunate than us, especially in a time of the year like this that many people go without. This is a very generous congregation. We see it in our giving. We see it in relation to giving of gifts and all of those different things. But one of the things that Jesus talks about, it's not just this time of year God wants us to be liberal. It's every time of year. Because, brethren, there are so many people that walk through this life, difficult lives, that we don't know perhaps where they're going or where they're coming from, and they don't deserve to be judged, but what they deserve is to see Jesus in His light. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Brethren, our whole job in life is to glorify God and let people see Jesus through us. And with that, we show our liberality and our generosity because that's who Jesus was. Jesus said, remember, you didn't see me, but the least of those who you saw were my people. And when we talk about the concept, when we see people, what we want to think about is souls. We want to see souls, souls that are lost, souls that need a helping hand. And so with that, I had an opportunity to reach out to someone, but also to invite them to church. Simple gesture, goes a long way. But with that, whether that was planting a seed at that moment or later in life, I pray that was the case. But brethren, we never know when opportunities arise. Jesus went on to tell people of what it means to be liberal in relation to helping those who are destitute. That's the whole point in Jesus' teaching about giving to the poor. And we ought to be happy to share liberally with those who are in need and who are less fortunate than us. You think about the poor widow mite who threw in the last amount of money that she had. And see, when you understand the context of the situation, she wasn't doing it to be seen of people. Because you had all of these individuals walking up to the temple, and they had a portion of which they would throw their money into. It's almost like a can, so to speak, and it had a funnel that came down, and they would throw their money in. Well, the more money you had, the more noise that it made. And so these Pharisees and scribes and the individuals that were high and mighty of themselves would have a handful of change, and they would throw it in. It would make all of this racket. And they can say, see, look how much I'm giving. But here's the one poor lady who comes up with the last amount of money that she has, and it hardly made a sound. Jesus said, she gets it. She gets it. You see, what it truly means to be a liberal giver is when we give of that which we really don't have to give away. And many times we see different accounts in the Bible of individuals doing just that. And Jesus always made sure that he pointed out those individuals because they got what it meant to truly give to those that are without. Brethren, we are blessed beyond measure in this country. Blessed beyond measure. And I say that coming from someone who's seen different countries and different areas as I've traveled the world. And it's amazing as I see the individuals who are poor, who what we would consider by the definition of being poor, have no idea that they are. When I was doing mission work in Jamaica and some of the brethren we reached out there to didn't have a dime to their name, but you would have thought they were the richest people in the world by the way they carry themselves. And all the while, they would say, simply because we are blessed, we are rich because we're God's children. But I think generally, God, Jesus really wants us to be conservative, or rather to be liberal when it comes to mercy and forgiveness. The Apostle Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone that asked me for forgiveness? And he just threw out a random number, 7? Is that a good number? Is that a round, good number? Simple number? Not a lot, right? I mean, how many times does a person need to come to me? And perhaps Peter thought he was making a generous suggestion by saying 7. It wasn't just once or twice. And Jesus told Peter, you need to be far more liberal than that, Peter. Doesn't matter how many times, but I don't want you to say up to 7. I want you to say up to 70 times 7. You need to be as liberal as you possibly can when it comes to being merciful and forgiving to someone. And Jesus went on in this particular chapter, in Matthew chapter 18, to talk about the unmerciful servant. The one who was granted pity and mercy and forgiveness based upon what he owed his master, but yet went out with somebody who owed him far less and threw him into debtor's prison. Of which the servants went and told the master, you're not going to believe what this guy did. When someone hurts you, hurts your feelings, then comes to you and apologizes to you, and you tell them, no, I'm not going to forgive you because you hurt me too bad this time, then you're disobeying God. Flat out, exactly what Jesus said. You're disobeying the Lord. Brethren, there's not amount of anything that anyone can do to you on this earth that we didn't do to Jesus Christ. And we did it so much that we put him on the cross and killed him. And if it wasn't for the mercy of God and bringing His Son back to life and offering us forgiveness, none of us would have a hope of eternity. When someone hurts your feelings and comes to you and apologizes, God says, you forgive him, and it doesn't matter how many times you need to forgive them, you keep on forgiving. When you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the whole concept of love there, it's interesting in the Greek that it talks about enduring. Love endures, right? That means it keeps on taking it. Doesn't matter how many times someone mistreats you, Paul said, you keep on taking it. That's a hard thing to learn, isn't it? Sometimes that takes years for us to learn. Sometimes that takes many years for us to learn. Remember, God said, I'm the one who is the one that will offer vengeance. God said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, says the Lord. That's my job. That's my responsibility. And we understand that. God has liberally extended mercy and grace and forgiveness to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, brethren, and He expects exactly the same thing. It's real easy for us to do at this time of year, isn't it? Everybody's happy. Decorations are up. Everybody's loving and giving. But what about January 1st or 2nd or February 3rd or March 15th? What about those times when the holidays are long gone and past and we're into the year and now we're getting close to tax season, right? Because then we're really not happy. So what about those times? You see, what it truly means to be liberal as a child of God is that we're generous with what it means to be a Christian. But we also don't want to be so conservative to go to hell. It's great to be morally and doctrinally conservative. It is. We understand we abide by the truth of the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ. We hold tight to the truth of God's Word because we understand by that we're going to be judged. But if you hold tight to your money and your mercy and not liberally giving it as you liberally should be giving it, then we're going to be lost forever. Jesus was one who liberally gave of Himself, so much so that He died for us all. Brethren, there's not a person that can give more than Christ did. Not one. But what He leaves for us is an example. A person can hear the gospel message, believe it, obey it, but he can be lost forever because he didn't let the gospel message change the way that he treated other people. Truly ask yourself the question this morning, are you as liberal as Jesus wants you to be? As Jesus wants me to be? Because if we're not, personally, perhaps even I've got a lot of work to do. Because the more liberal we are with the love that God gave us to extend towards other people, just imagine how much better the church would be, how much better the world would be that we live in. So today, if you aren't as liberal as you think you should be, maybe it's a heart problem. Maybe it's just this time of year and you're slap worn out and ready for Tuesday to get here. Whatever the case is, just remember, Jesus is watching. He's watching how we treat people. Because with that, we understand we're going to be judged by our actions. And so today, if you're not as liberal as you think you ought to be, we want to encourage you to be more liberal today. Be liberal with your forgiveness, with the way people treat you, and the way you treat those who are less fortunate. And so today, if you need prayers, if you need encouragement, if you need anything, we want to help you today. But if you've never experienced the liberal love of Jesus through what He did at Calvary, you also have the opportunity today. If you've never put on Jesus in baptism, if you've never experienced the grace and mercy that God offers towards us who don't deserve it, brother, I'm telling you, you'll never feel better than when you come out of that watery grave of baptism to understand and know that your sins have been washed away. And so today, if you want to experience the liberal love of Jesus through being obedient to the free gift of salvation that He's given to us, we have to take the step towards salvation. We have to be willing to repent of our sins, telling Him we no longer want to act or be that way. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, you have to understand, repentance is important because if not, you will perish. And if you're ready to confess Jesus before this audience today, to say, you know what? I love Jesus. He's my Savior. He's the Son of God. Jesus said, if you'll do that, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven, Matthew 10:32. And finally, you take that last step to put on Christ in baptism, Acts 2:38, to be raised to walk in newness of life with Him, walking now the faithful life that sometimes we stumble and sometimes we're not liberal as we ought to be, but then we receive that crown of life, that crown of righteousness, Revelation 2:10, that we're all hoping for on that day of judgment. And so today, if you're not as liberal as you need to be, or maybe your heart is overflowing, because we want to pray with you today as together we stand and as we sing.
All to Jesus I say.